we realized it was a great advertisement and a great way to get our brand out there and build that brand, as well as it's an income and
it's a good revenue stream.
A good revenue stream that there's times when we can turn the light off and shut the door and walk away from it.
I talk to a lot of farmers on this show, and I've learned a lot about them over the years. Farming is a passion, and for many, it's a birthright. It takes a special kind of individual to take on the responsibility of being a steward of the land. However, farming is also a business, a money-making venture. Every farmer needs a cash crop, and at Greenway Farms, that cash crop is pickles.
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today, we are in Roberta, Georgia. About 45 minutes west of Macon on Highway 80 is where you and I will find Steve and Joy at Greenway Farms of Georgia.
All right. Well, I guess we can... Y'all aren't originally farm folk. What happened?
So, do you want to tell the...
Yeah. So, we were both widowed and living on the opposite sides of Cobb County. So I was in West Cobb. He was in East
Cobb.
And we met. We both had an interest in where our food came from. So over time, as we decided that we'd get married, we knew that we didn't want our children to go home for Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever, to a home that wasn't their home, that they were guests in. So we started looking for somewhere neutral. We looked at around Lake Altoona at first for a lake house, thinking our 20-something year old kids would come home for the weekend, but not want to sleep in bunk beds in the basement, so they'd go back home to their own. And then we realized we were really more interested in being connected to the land. And so we started looking north of Atlanta for property and trying to figure out what we would want to do for ourselves for food, and had an opportunity. We met the original founding partners for our farm, and by chance met them, and within what, 5 or 6 months, they came to us and said, we're looking for partners. What would you think? They already had so much of a foundation laid. Steve asked me at that point, he said, you were willing to move north of Atlanta, would you be willing to move south? And so we did. It took us a little longer to get down here than what we had planned, but this property opened up to be able to add to the original farm, and it's been like a perfect match.
So I'm originally from Fort Valley, which is not far from here, and but it also gave us the opportunity to build something that was ours, because we both had two families, and we both had separate lives before, but this gave us a chance over the last, 5 years to this is what we've done and what we've built. So, and I think all five of our kids are proud of that, and we've stretched ourselves and, taken ourselves into uncomfortable situations, things we're not used to, and I think we've found a little bit more about each other this way. And we've certainly found out more about ourselves by doing this, because it can be hard work, and you certainly have to learn to roll with the punches. So,
y'all also decided not to just have goats or just have cattle, just have pigs, just have chickens, grow vegetables. You kept going.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't. We actually bought the when we bought into the farm. They were already producing, and we even questioned how they did everything they did. Our original partners were Carrie and Robin Dunaway, and we just took what they started And then we've added some things like a local opportunity for people local to buy their stuff. They were going to farmers markets from Columbus to Macon to Warner Robins. And so we've probably focused a little bit on the meats, the beef, the pork, and the eggs because of the farming practices we wanted to farm. And then the canning and the pickles and the sauces and the jellies and jams, it's just another opportunity for a good business to help kind of fund the lifestyle that we wanted.
And by lifestyle, neither of us is high maintenance or looking on it. The lifestyle of open air, open sky, sunshine, a place for our kids to gather, a place for eventual grandkids to come. We were both fortunate in our original marriages that we had good family there, and so we have a lot of folks, and this has become a gathering place outside the farm. So that's the lifestyle. You know, we're not looking to feed the world and make a fortune where we can travel and go and do and somebody else is doing the work. It gives us a purpose and something we can say is ours.
Yeah, and the purpose for us is really goes back to health, because we had spouses that, you know, didn't have that luxury of good health. One, my wife was 12 years with a breast cancer battle, and went to work and didn't come home. Yeah. So different stories, but still revolved around that. So, you know, we do like the fresh air and the sunshine and the clean food, and doesn't mean, as you've seen, we wouldn't need a chocolate covered pecan caramel cluster, but you know, that's kind of our purpose, and that I think is what drives us. There's a lot of factors there.
After just 5 minutes, it is easy to see that Steve and Joy are likable and caring people. And I'm going to tell you a little more about their store and what it is doing for the community in Roberta. But first, let's talk pickles.
Long story short, it started far before me. Our busy road. People should know where we're located.
Yeah, you would think.
Our original farm founders, she had a knack for making pickles and anything canned. And after her initial retirement, wanted to just go to the farmer's market and make it and sell some pickles, and then came to find out they were supposed to be licensed. You're supposed to have the correct mechanisms in place to make sure that your food is safe with an acidified food. And so it kind of grew from there that it was very much on the retail side in their early years. So started, made the canning kitchen. It's actually a reconfigured and repurposed construction trailer that has been sealed and everything according to all the regulations. And so she started making, it was a happy place, making it, everything in it. As we came along and started looking from the business point of view, because they had a great brand going, great product. I can't take any credit for any of the recipes, they're not mine. They were handed down to me with the farm. But as we looked at it, we realized that that's a great advertisement on a small, safe purchase. You're spending a few dollars on something that if you don't like it, you're out a few dollars. You know, it's not a great loss, but it's a great little billboard on a jar that you remember it. You know, we'll have people that we meet out somewhere, and they'll see me buying canning jars at Walmart or something, and they'll say, oh, what do you do? Why have you got so many jars? When I tell them, they go, I've gotten your pickles at the fair before down in Perry. I know your pickles. So you just never know. It's we realized it was a great advertisement and a great way to get our brand out there and build that brand, as well as it's an income and
it's a good revenue stream.
A good revenue stream that there's times when we can turn the light off and shut the door and walk away from it. We can't do that with animals.
One of the issues with a farm of our size is just to be able to to be able to grow revenues and to be able to have products that have bigger margins. So the pickles allow us to do that. It's a value add product that we put together and package and put that value. So it allows us to have, you know, more revenue stream, a different diversified revenue stream, also a little bit of a higher margin, but also just generates cash flow quicker. When I purchase a steer and raise it out over 12 to 14 months, I'm invested in that steer for that period of time. We can buy jars and get cucumbers and the spices and put them together and have on a Monday and be sold out on Saturday.
They make so many interesting points in that conversation. One of those points I'd like to point out is this one.
Our original farm founders, she had a knack for making pickles and anything canned, and after her initial retirement, wanted to just go to the farmer's market and make it and sell some pickles, and then came to find out they were supposed to be licensed. You're supposed to have the correct mechanisms in place to make sure that your food is safe with an acidified food.
Did you grow up with a grandma or mama or big mama that canned her own food? And did people tell her, oh, mama, you should sell this? Well, I've got some bad news, mama. You can't just do that. There are rules.
We also have to look for is something called equilibrium pH. And the equilibrium pH is the last measurement that we take on them. And it is the pH of the product once it's had a chance to absorb into the ingredients. It's the brine. Once the brine has had a chance to absorb into the cucumbers, so it settles for what the pH will be. So getting them in, all shaken down, we need to make sure that it's really the right amount of product in there so that you're not looking at something that there's so little cucumber in there that it's brine heavy and the pH would be different.
Yep, that little jar of pickles you can pick up at the Greenway Farms Market has been checked and double-checked that the pH levels are what they need to be. Agricultural science for the win. But wait, there's more!
There's record keeping that has to be done for the processing. Each of the pickles has a specific recipe that has been submitted to a processing authority. Years ago when we submitted our recipes, they went to North Carolina State University just for time and cost at that point for what we needed to turn around on. And the recipes were tested there. The parameters were set for what a safe pH and processing time and how the processing was done. We have to follow those processing letters. Then, the information we got back on it, then we keep records on it, and that's how we're inspected to make sure we are following correctly what we've done. Each batch is assigned a batch number, and there's no real mystery to it. It's the year, the month, and which batch.
This is not your big mama's canning operation.
Strawberry jam that we're doing at the time, then it'll still have just the next in line, next chronological number coming up. But we have all of our record keeping based under that. We'll keep a list of each ingredient that went into the product, where the ingredient was sourced from, and if there is a lot number associated with it. All of that, the date, the temperature that the brine was cooked to, how long it was held, and what time of day we held the temperature of the brine. The temperature of the product when the brine is first put into the jar with the cucumbers, as well as the pH level then. And that's really just a check for you on that pH. We have to keep it recorded, but it's just a check mark. If you know that something's really off with your pH when you're just pouring the brine in the jar, you know something's wrong with your process.
Now that we have a little better understanding of the rules, regulations, and safety checks, what makes these pickles so special?
pretty much what makes our pickles stand out to us is the fact that it's the detail that you get, the attention to the detail, because they're hand-packed. We won't ever go back to any or go to anyone else packing for us. It'll remain. We've got food processor that we do the chips from, or the plunger that we make the spears from, but it'll stay a hand-packed product. We've got the facility here to do it, and it's enjoyable work. It's enjoyable to do, to see the product go, and people appreciate it and like it. But that's what sets it apart, that the attention to that brine, what goes in it, the product, where we're getting it from, the freshness of it. That's what makes the difference, that we can control and manage all that ourselves.
Yeah, I'm anticipating this brine.
This is the easier one, the bread and butter, because it's basically vinegar and sugar as the base. When that brine is really boiling and you open it up, it'll take your breath almost sometimes, because the brine, it's so rich that it'll pretty much take your breath. So that's when we've got the fan on to draw some little bit of air out, clean it out a little bit.
I love the hand process of it all.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
I'm gonna slide
it can be,
you.
It's, yeah, by the end of the day, if you've done 200 jars in a day, you're tired, hot. But it's enjoyable to see it actually start from the beginning and, you know, all the way to the finished product right then.
Tell me where you get these.
We actually try to source as much local as we can. We've grown some of our own and sourced a little bit locally. Usually, though, we are at State Farmers Market in Forest Park. I drive up usually on a Sunday or Monday, get them back down here, and we cut usually on Monday or Tuesday. We try to do about 3 bushels to 4 a week.
Yeah, and y'all ain't too far from the State Farmers Market.
Yeah. I know that route really well.
How many pickles do y'all go through a month or a week? How's it all work?
How many pickles or how many
cucumbers?
If we, because we have other farm functions that we do, 3 bushels of cucumbers is a good busy week. We can crank out 4, and that's generally working a half day. We know we're much faster if it's the two of us in here together. We can get quite a bit more done. Like this week, we knew there were some things, filming and so forth, that would limit our time. So we did 1 bushel of cucumbers this week. And we'll make, like, on an off day, if we finish with everything, then we'll make a jam or a jelly, because we do more than that. And we do tomato sauces and chow chow also. So we'll swap recipes if it's not just pickles, but pickles are the brunt of everything. That's the biggest thing we do. Yeah.
Locally sourced, handcrafted, and made with love and science.
We're going to be making garlic dill chips today. So we're going to clean up the garlic a little bit. And then Morgan's making brine. We just cut the ends off. And then Morgan will start making the brine, and I'll start stuffing jars.
Okay.
And then the brine's the same on the chips or the spears. There's no change in that.
So for anybody who didn't know, pickles are made with vinegar.
Vinegar has its own health benefits, so.
That's how you're preserving them.
What are the health benefits?
Anything with vinegar helps you with your glucose levels generally. And then, of course, you're still getting, even though it's processed, you're still getting a vegetable.
And I have to get one more thing of water.
Also, on any of our recipes that have water, we're on our own well water, which is inspected and maintained. So you've got good, clean water, no chemicals in the water, so it makes for a nice, clean product, clean tasting product. To go, you know, as a side on something, you know, you eat it with a hamburger or a sandwich. Then there are people who it is their go-to snack item. At the National Fair a couple of years back, early one morning, we had a dad and his three little sons come in, and they were little stair steps, probably like 2, 4, and 6 years old. About 9:30 in the morning, they bought a jar of garlic dill spears, and he opened them for them, and they made it about 2 booths down in the Georgia Grown Pavilion, and he came back and said, "They've eaten them all. Can I buy another jar?" So that was their breakfast that morning. It was breakfast of champions. They ate the whole jar of pickles. There are people who that is their go-to snack.
That I love it because my daughter and I, we had one of your jars.
Uh-huh.
And we started eating those spears. And I like it. I'm like, it fills me up. It's low calorie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm full.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, I'm not eating a bunch of potato chips. But, I'm eating pickles and getting full.
And, you know, you are what you eats as well. So anything that you're putting in, where it's coming from matters, whether it's, you know, what soil it's raised in, or for us on the opposite side of the farm, the proteins, you know, what's on the grass that they're eating. But I've been reading more and more recently about glucose and what vinegar can help. I don't know everything, you know, I'm not a doctor, but the glucose helping your, I mean, the vinegar helping your glucose not spike.
Are pickles a miracle food? Maybe. Let's fast forward.
These are the spices and seasoning.
Simple as.
To about 210. We have to write down the time here.
Match it up to my record key.
So that's why you have to make sure that you're using proper canning practices.
The cucumbers have been cut, put into jars, the brine has been brought to the appropriate temperature, the pH levels have been checked and double-checked, the jars have had their hot water bath to seal the lids, and the processing sheets have been filled out.
How long are these going to sit in the jar before they're ready for consumption?
They'll be ready for consumption tomorrow afternoon. They need 24 hours. We have to take a measurement 24 hours after they're done. We take a sample jar. For an equilibrium pH, and once that is done, then we wash, lot, and label. We take the rings back off once they're sealed. Actually wash the jar, wash the rings, turn them upside down, let them dry good, write the lot number on the bottom, and then put a label on them. So you could come back tomorrow afternoon and eat these pickles.
But then you keep one in your pantry for how long?
Shelf life is generally considered 18 months on them, sitting in your shelf. Once you open them and have them in your fridge, they've got to go in your fridge after they're open. They don't last 18 months. They get going fast.
You're going to eat them faster than that.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like any other product. Then it's up to your discretion then once you've got it open. But you know, oh, well, that sat out on the picnic table for 3 hours before it got put back in the fridge. Better not have that. But if it's just something where you're drawing out until you finish the jar, it should be fine.
We can't open them and eat them until we know where to buy them. Also, when to buy them.
Switching gears back to the store.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday 10 to 2.
Uh-huh.
That's the time to be here.
Yes.
It's, unless it's by appointment, that's the only time to be here.
Yes.
Yes.
But it is kind of neat for this town and community to have that opportunity.
It is. This was an accident, actually. We bought the property. The store didn't have water or power.
Closed off completely.
It was, and you couldn't even open the door hardly. We parked our market truck here one Saturday just out of chance, and we were kind of overwhelmed with activity. So we went through the process to get water and power in here and open the store, and just the demands of time only allow us, we're not real convenient, a Saturday from 10 to 2, but it is a full 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether it might be 12 to 15 customers on a slow day or 30 to 40 on a busy day, there's a lot that goes on. There's a lot of connection that goes on within the community. We bring people to the community. You know, we're not far from other agricultural interests here in the peaches, with Pearson's and Dickey's, and give somebody, you know, they get another place to go. And so the local people that have grew up coming to this store as young kids, they like to come back and see, you know, what's going on in the store. And so it's just given us a chance to kind of connect with the community in a really passive way.
Where the store is, that property, I know the house was built in 1935. That store building is their second store building. It was built in 1960 when they cut US 80 through, the highway through. We have so many people, once we reopened that building, so many people who have walked through the doors and say, I came in here with my grandparents when I was a child.
Put it on your calendar. The Greenway Farms Market in Roberta, Georgia is open Saturday, 10 to 2. For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.